This past summer, I gave a recommendation to a teacher who attended one of my in-person digital organization retreats to invest in an iPad and the Fourscore app. Besides teaching, she does a lot of professional playing and accompanying. I knew it would change her life. She reached out several weeks later with this message. She said, "Hey, your new tech-savvy friend here. I just bought an iPad and the Fourscore app. My summer project will be digitizing my library. Any tips on taking on such a huge project? I'm a little overwhelmed by how to tag everything. And is there a difference between the Apple Pencil and a stylus? The pencil is so expensive. Do you find it necessary in using all that Fourscore offers? Maybe this could even be a future blog post or podcast episode for you." Well, thanks to Gabrielle's question, I decided to take her advice and share thoughts on how to best utilize, organize, and manage the Fourscore app. As I started writing, I realized I had quite a bit to say on the topic, so I'm bringing this to you in two parts. As a matter of fact, I think this is the first ever two-part episode that I've done. Today, we will cover some basics, including answering some of Gabrielle's questions on how to digitize sheet music, a little on the Apple Pencil, and tagging. Next week, I'll go a little deeper and share some features that I wish I had taken the time to learn about sooner. This is the time of year that many of us play professionally more than ever with all the holiday events and shows, so I felt the timing of this topic was perfect for the season. Oh, by the way, I'm Amy Chaplin, host of this podcast and a piano teacher from the Indiana Flatlands, who also enjoys sharing her other skills of organization and digital management. Let's get going! Are you looking for fun holiday activities to do during the month of December? Believe me when I say that the Christmas video series available on pianopantry.com is a guaranteed smile on your students' faces. The 25 videos and 90 minutes of listening include inspiring musicians like Jared Radnich, the Mormon Tabernacle Bell Choir, Straight No Chaser, The Piano Guys, Cameron Carpenter, Eric Whitaker, Placido Domingo, and more. While the video collection is free, if you want to dig deeper with your students, there is a 9-page listening guide available for sale in the shop that includes brief and easy-to-digest background information on each piece and a reflection question. Visit the show notes for the link to this resource. Before we dive in, let's start with the basics. What is Fourscore? Fourscore is an app for iPad, iPhone, and Mac that is a boss of a PDF sheet music reading experience. This is a place where you can take your digital scores to the next level with things like annotation, half-page turns, set lists, and much, much more. The features extend far and wide. I'm going to insert a little disclaimer that, first of all, this is not a paid ad for Fourscore, but I'm also not doing an exhaustive tutorial on Fourscore. What we're doing is just hitting some highlights that I think will benefit you as a user. To get hard copy music into the app, you're going to need a scanning app. I highly recommend Genius Scan. To create a PDF of a hard copy of music, you just open the scanner app, start a new document, hold the camera up to one page of your music, and it will auto-grab the page. If you have multiple pages in a piece, you scan each page back to back. Then you can adjust the cropping and go through a few editing options. This is where you set it to be a PDF document, then hit the share button just like you would anything else you're sending through your device. So you share the scanned piece of music from the scanner app into the Fourscore app. The other way to get music into the app is to do it directly from Fourscore. You can open files from your document manager and import them into Fourscore. Now, this is the place where, as a digital organization coach, I want to encourage you not to think of Fourscore as a place where you save and store all the digital files you own. The digital score files, I should say. I would recommend still keeping a file that has your scores in it and then just using Fourscore as a player. Now, to be completely transparent, I'm only talking about doing this for scores that you purchase directly. I only do it for digital scores. If I'm scanning a hard copy piece of music into the Fourscore app, I don't also save it into my document files first. I just send it into Fourscore. So I hope that makes sense, the difference that I'm talking about. If you are scanning hard copy music into Fourscore, there are two different ways to think about it. One, you could scan the entire book into one PDF file and use bookmarks to mark the start of different pieces within the book. Or number two, you could scan individual pieces and then create a label with the book name so you can find all the pieces from that book in one place. The trouble with using the bookmarks feature in Fourscore is you can't really organize them very much, so I think the first option is not the best. I would recommend just scanning individual pieces, then using a label with the name of the book. And I actually like, when I'm labeling a book name, to title the beginning of it as book. Like, I'll literally write book in all uppercase letters and then a colon, and then the name of the book. So I can easily see labels that are books versus labels that are other labels. Okay, so now that we know how to get files into Fourscore, let's talk about the Apple Pencil. Do I recommend it? Yes, highly. It is 100% worth the investment. The second generation Apple Pencil I have literally magnetizes to the side of my iPad Pro, 12.9-inch size, it's the bigger one. It magnetizes it to charge. It's really awesome. Now, the first generation Apple Pencil I had a lightning connector that you would plug into the iPad to charge it directly, which was still pretty cool. But you couldn't easily charge it while using the iPad because it stuck out of the bottom of the iPad. In order to use an Apple Pencil, though, I believe you need the Pro version of an iPad. Just double check before you purchase an iPad that you can use the Apple Pencil if that's what you want to do. I have used old styluses for years, and nothing has ever come as close to being as sleek or as user-friendly as the Apple Pencil. If you're going to be doing a lot of playing from digital sheet music in Fourscore, you're going to want to be able to write digital annotations on the page, and using your finger is just not fun or very accurate. Plus, it's a business write-off, so don't skimp on yourself or your sanity. I also recommend the Apple Smart Keyboard. While I don't use it as much now that I have a laptop, it's still nice when editing information in Fourscore to be able to type and not have to like peck with your fingers. If you have to choose between getting the keyboard or the Apple Pencil though, definitely get the Apple Pencil. Just a heads up that I am linking to all of this stuff in the show notes. Now, let's talk a little about the tools within Fourscore that can help us keep our scores organized. What I don't want you to do is to import a piece of sheet music and just let it be. The metadata for that file will title it with a really wonky name. You have to go in and add some basic information to the score's metadata title, display, and you can do this from two places. If you've just imported the piece and you're actually viewing the piece, then you will find the place to edit the metadata at the very top in the middle of the page. You can also edit the song's metadata information by going into the place where you view the list of all your scores, and you click on the information button next to the file name. Besides editing the title, the metadata information area includes lots of different tools that will help you organize your digital library. If this is new to you, it can be really helpful to decide before you start importing a bunch of music how you want to organize it. Things like, What kind of format do you want to write your composer names in? You have to be impeccably consistent, otherwise it will create multiple composers. For example, if you write that the composer's name is Chrissy Ricker, all lowercase letters, but on the next song you import, you write Chrissy Ricker with the first letter of both names, uppercase, it will not recognize them as the same composer, and it will create two separate names. Now, the nice thing is that once you create it, you actually don't have to remember it and type it in manually. So don't actually do that. This is something I didn't realize right away when I started using Fourscore, and it is a tip that I'm actually going to probably include next week as well. But when you're editing the composer's name or other properties in the song information, if you put your cursor inside the area where you type their name, a little circle with three horizontal lines is going to appear to the right. If you tap on that, you'll be able to see all the labels and composer names or tags that you have already created so that you can select from there rather than having to type it in manually every time and remember little details like uppercase letters or spellings of composers' names. So learn how to do this. I promise you it will save you tons of time and will help keep all your information nice and tidy. I'm going to tell you something else that I actually learned while researching and writing this podcast that kind of blew my mind. You do not have to use the preset metadata title properties that are the default. So the word title is not changeable, but everything else below that in the song information is editable. So, for example, you could actually change the word composer to arranger, or the word genre to lyrics by, or whatever you want it to be. Is that cool or what? Now that you know that, I'm still going to go through this as if we're keeping the same default information of composers and genre and tags and labels. So I'm going to talk through it with those titles, but just know that you could actually change those if you wanted to. So the next part of the song information to consider and edit is the genre. A few I include Broadway, Christmas, church, classical, patriotic, popular, and wedding. One thing to keep in mind is that when you're adding information to these songs, you don't have to just add one thing. So I could actually, you know, add multiple tags to one song and find it in different places. So you don't have to just add one genre. Like, it's not just stuck to wedding. Like, you could put popular and wedding on it. The next area is tags. I tend to think about tags in all the ways like I would describe a piece, such as duple, minor, piano solo, hymn, contemporary praise, lead sheet, or chord chart. I think about and use label categories in more of like grouping things together, such as an entire book or an entire liturgical setting. So tags are more descriptive for me, and labels and genres are more like big picture. So, for example, just take one song as an example. I might put the following information into the song's metadata. The genre is church and Christmas. The tags are hymn, duple meter, and major tonality. The label is ELW, which stands for Evangelical Lutheran Worship Hymnal. So, like I said, the beautiful thing is you do not have to just stick with one label or one tag. You can put more than one thing on them. And you can customize it however you like with whatever works for you and your brain. Now, is our modern technology amazing or what? No more do we have to like take 6 pages of sheet music and spread it across music stands taped together and like ripping them away when it's time to reveal the next layer of music. We have amazing technology that helps us to just be able to touch the iPad or hit a Bluetooth foot pedal and turn the page. All right, so far we've learned how to get music into the app. We talked about why the Apple Pencil and Smart Keyboard are useful. and how we can create information that will help us keep track of the song in a useful way so it doesn't just get lost down a big rabbit hole of a million pieces of digital sheet music. The last thing I want to cover today is set lists. Set lists to me are the gold of this app. This is where it all happens. One useful thing to know is that within set lists, you can create folders. So I have a set list folder called church. And then inside that folder is a folder for each of the different churches that I'm currently playing for. Inside each of the individual church folders then might be different set lists for different types of services, such as Christmas Eve or Monday, Thursday, or just regular Sunday morning services. I have a set list folder called schools. Inside of that master folder are set lists for all the different schools I've done accompanying for. I also have a set list folder called services. Inside of that folder are either folders or sometimes just direct set lists for things like weddings or funerals. Lastly, I create set lists for some of the early childhood type lesson material I do in my Music Moves for Piano keyboard games lessons. I scan each song or rhythm chant, and then I notate directly on the page what different types of movements we're going to do, and it's easy to shuffle through. Creating folders in set lists is a little unintuitive, so I wanted to take a moment to walk you through it. I realize that verbalizing something like this will be hard to follow unless you're actually doing it with me. However, I still want to tell you about it because there is a transcript of this episode, so you can go back and read the transcript when you're ready with your device in front of you to find out how to do this. Don't worry, this is not going to be very long. So, to create a folder inside of a set list, you have to click on the Edit button inside of set lists. If you start by clicking on the plus button, it will just make a new set list. So you have to create the folder in edit mode. So hit done, and then you're going to hit the plus symbol to create a set list. So you go into edit, you hit the edit button, and then from there you create a folder, hit done, and then you hit the plus symbol to create a set list within that folder. Once the set list is created, you click the information button to add it to the set list folder. I hope that all makes sense and you can follow that. If you have found this episode useful, stay tuned for next week's episode where I'll share some of the hacks that I wish I would have figured out sooner in this app. You know, like any other thing of our lives, things don't just magically organize themselves. We have to put a little intention and effort into making things work for us, like taking the time to edit song information right away when importing it into the app. Otherwise, it can create a bigger headache down the road. This is something that I talk a lot about in my digital organization course, which is available both online and as an in-person retreat. I'll be announcing dates for the winter session here in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. Before we move into this week's tiny tip, I wanted to finish with a follow-up from my friend who I talked about at the beginning of this episode. She recently wrote me another message and said this: I wanted to write with a specific thank you for your strong suggestion to get an iPad and the Fourscore app. While it is great for teaching, it would be impossible to do my new accompanying job without this resource. I'm working as the staff accompanist at a musical theater department where I've got 100 plus songs to play, no exaggeration. It's my dream job and would be so difficult to manage without this digital organization tool. I told her, wow, yes, that absolutely would be impossible to play. I mean, gone are the days of carrying around these huge, like, 3-inch, 3-ring binders with pages and pages of music taped together. I know you can relate. Thanks for sticking around to hear today's tiny tip. Today's tiny tip is not so much life-related as it usually is, but is a piano teaching tip. I recently had a student who was having trouble remembering that F was to the left of the three black keys and C was to the left of the two black keys. To help him remember, I had him draw an uppercase F and an uppercase C and then count how many tip ends there were on each letter. F has three end points and C only has two. Aha! Now, I have no idea if this was an idea that I came up with on my own out of the blue, or if I heard it from someone else years ago and it was just locked away in the stores of my mind. Rarely do I ever have students who really struggle to remember F versus C when we're only doing those two notes, so it's not a trick that I pull out of my back pocket very often, but I thought it was a pretty clever one. What do you think? Speaking of what you think, I would love it if you would give me a little gift this Christmas and take a moment to rate and review this podcast. It's so easy to do. Please know that the small effort it will require of you can help this podcast yield great results. So thank you so much in advance for going the extra mile as we near the end of the second full year of this podcast. Happy teaching!